Happy Sunday and welcome to another amazing edition of award-winning, Gabby Award-winning Sunday Conversations with the Rileys, establishing effective communication through spiritual growth. All right. Hey, listen. We're broadcasting from Columbus, Georgia, all the way to Eufaula, Alabama, and surrounding areas. And I'm so very excited today because not only do I have with me Brother
Carl Brown,
I also have with me my real, my baby, my girlfriend. You know her as Katasha Riley.
Y'all know how you act when I'm in the room.
Of the Overflow Salon and Barbershop. Shots. Hey, listen. Today's Sunday conversation is entitled, We Care. I'm going to say that again. We Care. And the reason why we named it We Care is because we're talking about really the Affordable Care Act and Obamacare. We're talking about insurance.
That is correct. That is correct.
Okay. First question, Bro Carl. Brother, how have you been doing?
I'm doing great. Busy. It's that time of year. Open enrollment has started. And a lot of people are getting these notices about what their new premiums are going to be for 2026. And I'm sure most people are probably hearing about Congress and all those things. So, yes, people are going into shock in some cases about the new premiums.
Well, Bro Carl, you're somewhat of an expert. So how long have you been doing insurance? And what's your background?
Well, I'm retired military. I'm originally from New York, from Brooklyn. Yeah. I've been in the insurance industry over 30 years now.
Okay.
So I've watched it grow. I started in the industry in 93 with MetLife. So I've watched health insurance, especially how it's changed over the years until where we are right now.
Okay, now do you deal with like life, term life, whole?
I do all of that. I do life. Of course, now also Medicare annual enrollment is going on. So I'm also very busy with that. And that runs through December 7th.
So this climate that we're in dealing with insurance is a very different climate per se than when you first started doing insurance.
Most definitely.
So let's talk about it then.
Well, when I first started doing insurance, especially when we started talking about health insurance, what was happening was people had to meet their deductibles first. Mm-hmm. Most companies had what they call a lifetime limit. Mm-hmm. And that lifetime limit was $5 million. Wow. That was the most that the insurance company would be on, basically on the liability for, was $5 million. In addition to that, the companies could say, well, if you have high blood pressure, we're not going to take you, or we're going to charge you extra.
Oh, wow.
All that was allowed up until probably I would say later on during the mid-90s, we moved into what they call a managed care concept. And then that's when you started hearing about HMOs and PPOs and things of that nature. But you still had the restrictions that came into play with insurance companies saying, well, we don't want to take this risk or we're going to charge you extra for this risk. A lot of companies wouldn't cover pregnancy unless you were married.
Oh, yeah. I recently added more insurance, mm-hmm. You know, for my beautiful wife in case something happened to me. And I tell you, man, they picked me and prodded me and they weighed me and they tested me for everything under the sun. And certain stuff came back. They're like, look, we can't do this, but we can do this.
That's correct.
And that really surprised me.
That's correct.
And so my advice is, well, I'm not the expert, but get insurance like
early. Get it early. Get it early. That's
get
what
it
we
early.
Say.
Get it early.
Especially a good term policy, because a lot of times people don't realize if you have the right term policy, it's convertible and it guarantees your health later on in life. So that's one of the things that people are not. A lot of times people are just not aware of that. You know, a lot of times people put it off and say, "Well, nothing's going to happen to me." I always tell the joke of, you know, especially when we talk about life insurance, about if you were to fill up the University of Michigan stadium, mm-hmm. with 30-year-olds at 7 o'clock in the morning, by 7 o'clock at night, one would probably be dead. So, of course, guys would say, well, those are pretty good odds, only one out of 110,000.
Yeah.
But I always tell a person, if you're that one.
Wow, there you go.
Then you're running at 100%.
There you go. All right, Brother Carl, can you explain the different ways people can get health insurance?
One of the ways, of course, if you're working for an employer and the employer offers you, that's group insurance. So that's one way. One of the other ways you can go out, but we have to be real careful about that also, because some plans have limited benefits depending on the carrier that's being offered.
Okay.
Also, you have the Affordable Care Act, where you have the marketplace.
Okay, now let's what is the Affordable Care Act?
Now, the Affordable Care Act,
we call it
Obamacare, because it was put in during President Obama's term.
I don't know that it's the same thing.
That's correct. And there's also a lot of people are not aware, even your group insurance is technically still a part of the Affordable Care Act. And that's one of the things people are not aware of, because what happens is people say, well, oh, I have group insurance. I don't have Obamacare. Right. I'm saying that Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, is what allows you now to join your plan without them asking you any health questions.
Yeah, because, you know, we had some people feeling some kind of way about Obamacare. But I'm like, hey, homeboy, you have it. I mean, don't get caught up in the name. Just get caught up in what you need.
I still have people today who come to me to buy insurance, and the first thing they will say is, I don't want Obamacare. And then I get to tell them, well, I guess you don't want major medical. Because that's the other thing people don't realize. There is a difference between limited benefit plans and major medical. See, now with the Obamacare, Affordable Care Act, those are major medical policies, which means they cover all pre-existing conditions without any waiting periods.
That's a good thing.
That's an excellent thing.
Yes.
In addition to the fact there is no lifetime maximum. Remember I told you before that it was a $5 million lifetime. Now with this, there is no lifetime. So if you needed $10 million worth of coverage, insurance company has to cover you.
Man, I love it. Hey, listen, just in case you're joining us for Sunday Conversations with the Rileys, we're in the studio with Mr. Carl Brown, who has been doing insurance for over 30 years. So we have an expert in the building concerning your insurance questions. So, Mr. Carl, let's talk about the Affordable Care Act / Obamacare. Who is eligible for that?
Well, everyone technically is eligible for it. The one thing people are not aware of, though, is that, and this is where the fight is going on now with coverage, is whether or not you will get help to help pay your premiums and offset some of your premiums. But technically, everybody could buy it, but it's a matter of whether or not you get any help to pay that premium or you get substantial help to pay that premium.
Okay, now, where should people look to go get that? What places should they begin to look to get the information?
Well, I, of course, as an agent, I'm going to always tell you should always reach out to an informed agent.
Okay,
and I use that big word.
Give me your information, bro.
All right. I'm at C. Brown & Associates. I'm at 1300 Winton Road, Suite 107. And my office number is 706-653-1287. And then, of course, my email is broker, which is broker1259@gmail.com.
Okay, now what services do you offer, Brookhall?
Well, I offer most of your insurance, except I don't do any property and casualty. When people call me for that, I normally refer that out. I always believe that you can be the expert in what you could be the expert in, and it's best to refer out for what you're not good at, and I'm not good at property and casualty, so I refer that to other people.
Okay, I have a question. So, as far as the Obamacare goes, what discounts are available, if there are any?
Okay, big word, discounts. I always tell people, not really discounts. What they are tax credits. So what happens is, the way it was set up originally, the way the law was originally written, if you qualified for the Obamacare, Affordable Care Act, they would look at your income to see if you qualify for any tax credits. If you didn't qualify for any tax credits, then you would be able to go to Medicaid. And that's a big word, because what happens is that's why you hear about expanded Medicaid expansion, where your red states didn't expand Medicaid. So if your income ranges from 100% of the federal poverty level to 400% of the federal poverty level, then you're qualified for a tax credit that you can apply for to pay for your health insurance. In some cases, it might pay for all of it. But in a lot of cases, you have to fill in the difference. The bad part about when the Supreme Court ruled that the Affordable Care Act was actually legal, They also ruled that Medicaid expansion was a state's rights issue. That's why Georgia did not expand Medicaid. So what really surprises a lot of people who call me, for instance, if you are a dollar less than a federal poverty level, you have to pay 100% of your premium. And if you're 400% of the federal poverty level, you have to pay 100% of your premium.
Well, what is the federal poverty level?
Excellent. So here's the question. When looking at it, 100% of the federal poverty level for one person moving into this year, and it changes every year, it increases, is $15,650. That's 100% for one person. But it changes depending on how many people are in your family. So, for instance, you have two people in your family at 100% of the federal poverty level is now $21,150. So if you are a dollar less than any of those numbers, you don't get any help to pay your premium. So if your premium is $800, you still got to pay $800.
Wow.
And that's what catches people off guard. Because they think, a lot of people say, well, I don't make any money. Well, if you are a dollar less than the federal poverty level, you don't get any help in Georgia, in most of your red states. So that's what everybody's talking about. And then you also affect, if you're a dollar more than the 400%, which if you're one person, 400% for 2026 will be $62,600. So if you make a dollar more, you don't get any help. So if your premium is $800, you got to pay $800. And, of course, that changes depending on how many people in your family. So if you have two people in your family, now the 400% level, now it's at, we're looking at $84,000.
So we're talking about poverty level versus medium income?
That's correct. Okay. The federal government sets the federal poverty level each year, and that goes up. And the way it's set up, that if you are a dollar less, you don't get any help. So that's what you hear the fight going on in Congress about, the enhanced subsidies. So the enhanced subsidies came about as a part of the American Rescue Act with COVID. So then they agreed that people who were making over 400% would then be eligible to get a subsidy to help pay their premiums. But that also meant that people who were getting a subsidy, who were at the lower level, got even more help to pay their premium. So for instance, in 2025, there are people who are actually paying 2 cents. That's right, 2 pennies for their health insurance. But those people who are paying two cents now are finding out their premium for 2026 might be going to $80 a month.
Now, is it required for every taxpayer to actually have health insurance, some type of health insurance?
No, there's no requirement. They initially, when the law was written, and that's one of the reasons why insurance companies claim that their premiums are going up, because when the law was initially written, everybody had to have insurance. So insurance companies look at the fact of saying, if we have younger people in the pool, they're not going to use their insurance as much versus if we have more elderly people in the pool. Remember now, the Affordable Care Act carries from normally all the way up to age 64. When you reach 65, then you move into Medicare.
So it seemed like to me, bro, Carl, that the medium income households are getting dinged.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's what the fight is now between the Democrats and Republicans, because they're looking at it and saying, "Wait a minute, if I make over $62,000 and I'm a single person, which I should be trying to do that because I'm trying to make money, but now you're telling me my premium might be $800 for health insurance?" Which, I'll give you a prime example, and I'm not going to give any names, but I have a client who this year, who's an attorney, who this year is paying $997 a month for his health insurance. For his wife and his child, he has an autistic child. He doesn't have it because he's already on Medicare. He's already got his notice for next year because he was getting a subsidy because of the enhanced subsidies. Next year is going to $2,300 a month because the subsidies are scheduled to expire December 31st of this year. And that's what the fight is with Congress, where the Democrats want to extend those subsidies and the Republicans are like, No, we don't want to extend it. And that's where the big fight's coming in. That's correct.
I read that it was a big deal for a lot of students that were on their parents' insurance. And they actually, I think it was like 26 years old that they came off the parents' insurance. Now, they can't afford the premiums and they don't even have dental.
That's correct.
So how can that really affect you? And how, I mean, what is
There's some rules that go into play. So yes, you come off your parents' group insurance, young people come off at 26. But if the parent is still claiming that child, even if the child is not working, but if the parent is still claiming, and I say that because I have some parents who are still claiming their children, the children are 45 years old on their taxes. As long as they're paying the bills and claiming as a dependent, then they will use the parent's income to qualify for the Affordable Care Act on the individual side. That's why I was saying that it's real good to talk to somebody who's informed about how really the system works. And so in turn, now if a person's already on the Affordable Care Act and they turn 26, like a lot of people are, then they can still stay on. They just, on their parents' policy, it just would have a separate policy, but they would be on the parents' application. So it's really about the income. Because like you said, a lot of young people, if they're not, let's say they're in school, they're just working part-time, the parents are still claiming them. And because the parents are still claiming them, with the laws with the Affordable Care Act, they use the parents' income to qualify. Even though the parents might not need the insurance. So sometimes children will come off a group plan and go to the Affordable Care Act individual plan. The parent does not have to join that plan. It would just be the child.
Outstanding. Hey, listen, just in case you're joining us for Sunday Conversations with the Rileys, we're in the studio with Mr. Carl Brown, and we're talking about insurance. And the name of our show is called We Care, because the Rileys care about these premiums going up.
We sure do.
Now, bro, Carl, let's talk about, we're saying a lot on air, and I know some people are probably confused about what's going on and what's coming. So let's give the people some information about where you're located in case they have questions about what's going on.
Yes. Well, I'm located at 1300 Winton Road, Suite 107. I'm across the street from the Columbus Museum, so I'm centrally located right on Winton Road. So that's that. Yes, there's a lot of confusion going on. A lot of us agents, we talk among ourselves, and one of the things we're hoping that the vote will be held, supposedly the Senate, as a part of the compromise, said that they will be voting on the Affordable Care Act, extending the subsidies the second week in December. Now, we do know that everything takes effect. The expiration of these subsidies, enhanced subsidies, it's not like the old subsidies go away, it's the enhanced subsidies. They end 31 December.
Okay, so Carl, if people were receiving insurance through the Affordable Care Act, they're getting letters if they were on the Affordable Care Act telling them what their new premiums are going to be. What should they expect to change?
Well, what they need to hope will change, because what they're seeing now is going to be the worst case scenario. The premiums that will be there if the enhanced subsidies are no longer in effect on 1 January. Now, of course, if Congress, the House of Representatives, they come together and they come to an agreement to extend them, then the insurance companies will be able to adjust that those premiums that people get up until probably January 30th, and they can make it retroactive to January 1.
But if we're talking about people that, let's say, below the poverty line, you're still talking about under $100.
Well, if you're below the poverty line, then remember that's the key thing. If you are a dollar under the poverty line,
right. Then
you're going to have to pay. You don't get the enhanced subsidy, and you get hit with the full premium. Now, we do live in, I know.
So what is that premium going to be?
Well, it depends on a person's age, because the premiums are based on age. There's no sex distinction, but there is a age distinction. And one of the things about that is that for a person who's under the poverty level, let's say a person 50 years old.
Correct.
They're going to be looking at probably $900 a month plus.
Ooh, people can't afford that.
Well, that's the problem. And there's so many people, and I tell a lot of people, you know, we're in a very fortunate situation. We work, we have jobs, but there are a lot of people who only rely on Social Security. Mm-hmm. And they're not 65 yet. So they're living under Social Security, but they're under the federal poverty level. So when you look at that, they have to pay. Their premiums are going to be $800-$900. Now, in Georgia, if you're a younger person, this year for 2025, Georgia has what they call Georgia Pathways. And basically, it's a Medicaid program for those who income falls below that number. And you can contact your Medicaid or go to Georgia Gateways or the Medicaid office for that. But there are rules to that. One of the things is you have to be doing at least 80 hours per month of either community service, school, or working. And then you've got to always go online and validate the fact that you're doing your 80 hours. Then you can get basically a Medicaid program. Now, understand, now a lot of doctors don't take Medicaid and things of that nature, but that is another avenue in Georgia. Now, in Alabama, it's a little bit different. I know we all go all the way out to Eufaula and mm-hmm. places like I heard you say. Well, that becomes a whole nother different. And remember, all carriers are not in all states or counties. So a count on the Affordable Care Act, a carrier that's in Georgia is not necessarily in Alabama.
Right.
A carrier that's in Muskogee County might not be with their in Harris County.
Wow.
And their pricing is not statewide. So if you live in Alabama, or if you live, let's say you live in Georgia, you're in Muskogee County, but if you live in Atlanta, your pricing could be completely different. So it could flip-flop. A company that's number one in Muskogee County might be last in Douglas County, which is in Atlanta.
Bro Carl, in closing, give us some advice or information as to what to expect or how to get in position for what's coming.
Okay, I think that one of the main things is that you need to go out there and read, follow the news, call an agent. You can also, we used to use healthcare.gov. That used to be, but starting in 2025, Georgia no longer uses healthcare.gov. Georgia uses a program called Georgia Access, and that's what we use. So if you live in Georgia, no longer can you go to healthcare.gov and get information about your health plan. You have to use Georgia Access. Or call the agent, and I always tell people, when they call me, there are no dumb questions, except for the ones you don't ask. You know, that's the thing about that.
Outstanding. Well, Bro Carl, is there anything that maybe we didn't cover during the interview that you think could help the people?
I do think one key thing jumps out is the fact that in 2025, and this is a change because of the administration, if you were at 150% of the federal poverty level, right, or less, you had a year-round open enrollment, which means you could buy insurance all year long. As a part of the new administration, that stopped. So if you don't get your insurance by December 15th is the last day for a January 1 effective date. But if you go to January 15th, then your coverage will start February 1st. But if you don't get it during that time, and if you are not on a group plan and you're not maybe getting married, which basically will allow you to have what they call a special enrollment, you will not be able to buy insurance for the rest of the year on the major medical.
That's crazy.
And so these other plans out there, the people will go to plans like healthcare.com, things of the healthcare.net. They will sell you what they call limited benefit plans. And a lot of times people think they have health insurance. But what happens is they find out doctors don't accept it, or they will underwrite you in the back end, which basically means you go to your doctor and all of a sudden they say, well, you come in because you have high blood pressure. Mm-hmm. And they will say, oh, we should have never took you in the beginning. So they won't pay any claims. And then they limit the amount. So there's a lot to it. But if you're talking to somebody on the phone and you're buying something online, ask the questions. Don't be afraid to say, hey, send me something, email me something. I need to know, especially if you're not talking about the hardcore Affordable Care Act itself. Good.
Wow, that's some great information.
Bro. Yeah.
Now, Brookhart, the last minute is dedicated because we are the Rileys and we believe in marriage. It's called the Marriage Minute. And we ask our people to give us some relationship advice, whether it's relationship with your wife, your kids, your friend, a coworker. We just need some relationship advice for the Marriage Minute.
I would think one of the things I've learned from it is the fact that I'm not always right. And sometimes you have to admit that, you know what, I'm not right. And sometimes you have to learn just to be quiet and listen. Because everyone has their own feelings. No one can love you the way you are loved because we all bring our own circumstances, our upbringings, and everything into our relationships. And we just have to know that, you know, I can't ask someone to love me the way I love myself. I just have to understand that our job is to make each other as happy as we can be.
You know what, bro, Carl? That is some great advice. And I'm going to take it. I'm not always right, Katasha Riley, but most of the time I'm right. Can I tell you? Most of the time I'm right.
I'm going to let you slide.
This has been Sunday Conversation with the Rileys. Peace out.
Bye, y'all.
Thank you.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.